we were going to take out of order. As it turns out, we're going to take in order, but I think that still works with people's schedules. It is a proposed section to consider the approval to create the gay and lesbian issues section, and addressing us is Mitchell Kateen.
Thank you and good afternoon. My name is Mitchell Kateen, and I am here today to make a presentation on the creation of a gay and lesbian issues section of the State Bar of Texas. I'd like to begin by telling you a little bit about who I am, why I'm here, and what about 75 lawyers who have signed statements desiring this section have in mind. First of all, let me tell you a little bit about who I am and what I do. I'm in private practice in Houston with the firm of Williams, Bernberg & Anderson. I've been a lawyer for about 10 years. I'm a commissioner on the Texas Real Estate Commission, appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate. I'm a commissioner on the City of Houston Commission on Disabilities, appointed by Mayor Lanier and confirmed by the City Council. I have been a State Bar Grievance Committee member for about 4 years, and for the last year I have served as a chair of a State Bar Grievance Committee panel. I am an adjunct professor at South Texas College of Law and will be teaching at the University of Houston at the same time, simultaneously. For 4 years, I presented legal workshops on HIV and the law, sponsored by the Houston Bar Association in Houston. And I was also chairman of the HIV committee and received the President's Award for my service. Last year, with the support of the Houston Bar Association, we presented the first sexual orientation in the law seminar in Houston, which had about 150 lawyers attend from all over the state, and was the first time any seminar like that was sponsored by a bar association. What I'd like to pass around are the written materials from that seminar. It was last December. These received particularly high acclaim, as well as the presentations. Just pass this around. In case any of you have questions about some of the legal topics or the legal issues involved in a gay and lesbian practice, if you will look at those materials. And what I have done also, because I understand that this topic is new to many of you, is I have put together a summary of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and HIV cases over the last year and a half. I haven't put this together. I've copied it and stapled it. I didn't write it. But this is some material, and I have 6 copies. If those of you who would like to look at it closer certainly can. And there are 125 case decisions over the last year and a half that deal with gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and HIV issues. And there are some materials for you to look at. This year, I received my highest honor. I want to thank you and let you know how much I appreciate the award that you presented me at the convention, the Frank J. Scurlock Award, for my pro bono service to the HIV community. I was particularly happy and pleased that you felt that my service to that community was worthy of that award. The section that we're here discussing and hopefully approving today is what I see as the next step in helping me to continue to serve clients who are often overlooked, forgotten, and often looked down upon. The creation of this section will assist lawyers in Texas to assist their clients who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or HIV positive. The section, according to the bylaws that have been proposed and are in your materials, we'll do this by fostering communication and interaction of attorneys who choose to practice in this specialized area of law. Now, the area of law is broad. In fact, most other areas have an aspect of it that could include gay and lesbian people. When I say gay and lesbian people, I'm talking about the list of types of people that are in the bylaws, but I'm just going to use gay and lesbian as a short term. That means family law, criminal law, constitutional law, real estate, tax, and so on. The problem is that because gay and lesbian issues are often the minority in under these sections of other areas, they are often not considered important and not addressed at all. In an ideal world, every legal seminar, every conference, every meeting that deals with one of these substantive issues would have a part that dealt with gay and lesbian issues, but they don't. And unfortunately, I don't think that they will in the near future. That is why people like me, whose primary practice is dealing and assisting gay and lesbian people, need a section so that those lawyers can communicate with one another, hold CLE programs where we provide education for those new lawyers that want to learn about this. And let me tell you that a number of law schools do now have sexual orientation classes to teach lawyers about this area of the law. We have looked very closely at the state bar rules for the creation of a section, and I believe if you review our materials, you will see that we have followed your rules, and all of the documents that need to be presented have been presented. I want to address two questions that I know some of you have talked with me about, and I want to just express my views on that at this time. The first is the political issue, the question that this is not appropriate for a state bar section. And I want to let you know that the lawyers who will participate in this section, if you approve it, will follow the rules, will follow the law, and focus on those issues that the other sections follow. That they will focus on the issues as they are required to do. So please do not presume that because you approve this section that somehow we're not going to follow the same rules that everybody else is going to follow, because I'll tell you that we will. The other issue is, well, how many sections are we going to have? There are so many sections. Why are we creating this other section? And in looking at your policy, I read it as saying that the purpose of sections are to encourage lawyers to feel a part of and participate in this state bar organization. And for whatever reason, gay and lesbian people are often excluded and certainly not made to feel welcome. There are a lot of people who don't feel connected or a part of the state bar at all. And by having this section, this will give them the opportunity to feel included and participate in a bar that they have to be a member of. Those people who don't like the section don't have to join, don't have to be involved with it. The proposed budget makes this section self-funding, so hopefully that won't be a problem. Gay and lesbian issues are unique and are almost always excluded from discussion of other legal areas. Hopefully, by creating this section, it will give people who need to represent their clients properly an opportunity to be educated and on the cutting edge of the law. I also have learned today that the state bar has never denied the creation of a section before, and I would ask you not to begin today. I have asked two people to assist me in presenting, and I would like to ask Charles Spain to just say a couple words, and then Connie Moore, and then we will conclude our presentation. Mr. Spain.
Thank you very much for having us here this afternoon. I think Mitchell has been most eloquent about explaining the goals and purposes of this proposed section. One of the things that I want to discuss with you briefly is some of the local groups that, or at least group that exists in Texas, a private organization of attorneys, and also one of the national groups, and try to explain to you why there's a need for groups both at the local and national level, and indeed a group at the statewide level. I'm the Vice President of the Bar Association for Human Rights of Greater Houston, It's an organization of attorneys that was formed about 6 years ago for attorneys that practice in the area that would affect clients that are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, or HIV positive. It wasn't a section of the Houston Bar Association, although I would like to say that we've been very fortunate in working with HBA to put on CLEs and to assist the Houston Bar Association with doing that, and indeed to complement it with some of our own work. We currently have about 60 members, and as Mitchell has said, one of the primary things that we do is we put out a newsletter with case summaries and send those so people can know what's going on in the cutting area edge of this area of the law. Another group that you may not be aware of is the National Lesbian Gay Law Association. This group was also founded, I want to say, about 6 years ago. Don't hold me to that. And 2 years ago, it was afforded affiliate status with the American Bar Association. Bill Whitehurst, who's former past president of the State Bar of Texas and also past president of the Texas Young Lawyers Association, was instrumental in working in the House of Delegates to get NGL, National Gay Lesbian, I can't do the acronym, anyway, to get the association affiliate status with the American Bar Association. And we owe a great deal of debt to him for that. The National Association puts on a biannual conference that's 4 days every 2 years for intensive legal education and bringing people together all around the country that practice in this area. What we don't have is we don't have a statewide organization, and that's what we're here today to discuss with y'all. Now, the problem with Texas is that someone can say, why don't we just have an organization like Bar Association for Human Rights, which is not a section of an existing organization, and have one of those that's formed statewide? Well, for any of you who have had to campaign statewide for any position, whether it be Dean Newton or Judge White, you realize that the state of Texas is huge. It's really very, very difficult with the regional diversity, the geographic distances, and the fact that we don't have the population centered in one or two major cities. Texas is probably unique in the country, and you could probably go to people who advise people on statewide campaigns and say that's why it's so expensive to run in Texas. We need the state bar. We need the resources of the state bar to reach the lawyers in Texas, because everybody has to belong, to let them know that we exist. Without that, for us to be totally self-funding in terms of communication, which is something that when the bar dues go out every year, everybody's going to know about the section, that's going to be very, very difficult for any organization to achieve on their own. We get lots of phone calls at bar from attorneys in other parts of the state, and I think there are lawyers in Dallas that are trying to form their own organization, but at some point, we can't be the group for the state of Texas. And we feel that it would be important to have a section of attorneys who discuss these areas of law to serve their clients. Thank you very much.
Ms. Moore?
Thank you, Mitchell, and thank you, Board of Directors. My name is Connie Moore, and I am also with the Bar Association of Human Rights of Greater Houston. I am Ken Charles's assistant. I'm the president of that organization. I'm here to talk with you about some of the practical realities of what we face in dealing with these issues in our private practices on a day-to-day basis. And I also have just a few words for those of you who aren't quite sure why this section needs to be here and where you personally believe that your vote should go, whether to include it or not. First of all, I'm in private practice. I have been for 10 years, and I practice primarily family law, estate planning, and probate law in Houston and the surrounding counties, Harris County and the surrounding counties. My primary practice involves outreach to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, and HIV community. Over the 10 years that I have been litigating in the family law courts particularly, I have accumulated a mass of information about these issues that affect these particular citizens on a day-to-day basis in their lives and in their litigation, especially in the areas of law that affect sometimes the citizens of this state more often than the corporate law, the commercial law, the insurance law, even the personal injury law. their families, their wills, their probate, their lives, their deaths. In this practice, as I've said, we have accumulated a massive information. Over the years, I personally have received many, many phone calls, probably one or two, maybe three a month, from practicing attorneys around the state, not necessarily at all lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, or HIV-positive attorneys, but attorneys who have found themselves in the position of trying to do what we are ethically bound to do, and that is to zealously represent our clients to the very best of our abilities. When you have a client come into your office and present a situation or a fact pattern that in a general course of terms you would be more than adequate, more than educated, and more than able to handle, and it may be a simple divorce, or it may be a complicated custody fight, or it may be a challenge to a will or a probate proceeding. But all of a sudden, a very small turn of facts, which for some people may be very large, but it could be a one sentence that your client tells you, that all of a sudden you feel, well, gosh, I could handle this matter, but I've never had that come up. I need to know what I can do that will help me represent my client to the best of my ability. Now, I know that there are two sides to every coin, two sides to every story, and I would suspect, although I haven't met you personally, that there are several people sitting at this table that probably today aren't sure that they could vote for a section, and whether it's because of political reasons or even possibly their own personal beliefs, I would like to tell you that you too, as well as the other members of the state bar, have an ethical obligation to represent your clients to the best of your ability. I hope I don't kick myself for this later as a litigant, but what if you are the attorney who has been faced with the other side of this issue? What if your client comes to you and says, my ex-spouse is now homosexual, and I would like to raise this issue in a family law matter? What if you wanted to zealously represent your client? Where would you go? I don't believe that you would certainly be able to find some of the smaller bar associations that those of us in the community know exist. Again, I know that seems directly opposite to the position that we're here to support today. It seems like I am encouraging what I feel the homophobia and the other things that we are educating our bars and our judges and our citizens about. But I would like to let you know that my personal belief is that the State Bar of Texas is here to provide service to the lawyers in Texas. I think including a gay and lesbian issue section in the state bar and voting for this today doesn't necessarily mean that you support any particular lifestyle. What it means is you support a bar association that is making its very best effort to support all of the lawyers in the state. And you are supporting a bar association that makes a very best effort to provide competent legal information to all citizens of the state of Texas. And quite frankly, I think that's what we're all about here. Thank you.
Thanks to all of you. Is there a motion on the floor?
Madam Chair, I move the adoption of the section.
There has been a motion to approve the section and a second. Is there any discussion? Rebbe, you have the option if you'd like to go first.
Well, I'm not going to say I'm pleased to.